This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it.
Self-discipline. All right, today's episode is about self-discipline, baby. If you look up the definition of self-discipline, you'll usually see something like this. Self-discipline is the power to get yourself to take action regardless of whether you feel like it or not. Developing self-discipline requires a willingness and capability to act regardless of your emotional state. And all of this is true, but I believe it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't quite go as far as it should in terms of the definition of the term self-discipline. It's more than simply doing stuff that you don't want to do. Because behind all that surface level stuff, there's usually going to be a deeper, more meaningful reason why you're interested in developing self-discipline in the first place. My definition of self-discipline goes like this. It's about self-imposed, deeply personal, intrinsically motivated behaviors repeated regularly enough such that they become part of your code of conduct, your moral fabric. For instance, say you set your alarm clock to wake you up at 5 a.m. You've set now a disciplined intention to rise at that specific time, right? Now, when the alarm clock goes off the next morning, do you tap the snooze button or do you pop out of bed and start your day? At this point, you know, some people might say, well, what's 5 more minutes, dude? Just 5 more minutes, hit the snooze button, no problem, get up after that. Well, 5 more minutes means you've been unfaithful to yourself. Your self-disciplined intention, that promise you made to yourself the night before to rise at 5, is now broken the moment you hit that snooze button. You've started your day with a negative score, and you've set the tone for more slips of self-discipline to let more of the little things slide. But the little things add up, man. Which is why I'm here to say, yes, sometimes you do need to sweat the small stuff. You do need to sweat the little stuff because the small stuff prepares you for the big stuff. How can you make $1 million if you can't make 1,000? How can you work out 5 days in a row if you can't work out for 5 minutes in a row? You start with the little stuff and you work your way up. You gotta sweat the small stuff. You begin with one push-up. And if that's all you can do, then that's all you can do. Tomorrow you build on that. By next week, you do 3 push-ups. The week after that, you do 5. And before you know it, you'll be doing 50 push-ups in a row. It's staggering how big the little stuff becomes. I'll never forget in my own life, the first time I walked into the gym to seriously begin lifting weights, I picked up this 20-pound dumbbell and I hoisted it over my head and it fell right back down and hit me right on the forehead. It almost knocked me right on my feet, literally almost knocked me out. I was trying to do an exercise called an overhead tricep extension, but I almost ended up laid out, extended on the floor. And so, you know, I had to learn to start small and work my way up. So I picked up the 5-pound dumbbell. A few months later, I was doing that exercise with 10 pounds. And then years later now, I warm up with that 20-pound dumbbell that almost knocked me out on the gym floor so many years earlier. So you start small and you build from there. That's a huge key to self-discipline. Now let's get back to the bed, mind over mattress. What if you actually jumped out of bed, right? You've set that alarm clock for 5 a.m. You jump out of bed with energy, intensity, the moment your alarm clock goes off. What happens then? Now, you've set the tone for a day of disciplined action. And it's not about waking up at 5 a.m., by the way. It's about waking up at whatever time you promise yourself that you're going to wake up that matters. That's what matters most. Self-discipline is about maintaining integrity between yourself and your own personal promises. That's what self-discipline is. It's about maintaining integrity between yourself and your own personal promises that you make to yourself. That one simple thing, that example, getting up when you intend to get up and doing it the first time, it's both a small win and a big win simultaneously at the same time. It's a small win because it's a small and simple action. Alarm goes off, you get up. It's a big win because it helps you gather the momentum you need to tackle the more challenging things you're going to come across throughout the day. So self-discipline, it's a skill so scarce in our modern day culture, one in which people are both starving for attention on one end and incapable of giving it on the other, that if you can become a person of self-discipline, you become a person with a superpower. It's like having a superpower. So how do you develop it? Let's talk about that. Here are three keys to developing self-discipline. Number one, imagine your ideal self, right? This is the highest version of yourself. And if you can, get out a notebook right now and start taking notes, because we're going to do an exercise before we go. These three keys to developing your self-discipline. The first thing to do, get out a notebook. First, imagine your ideal self, right? This is the highest version of yourself. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you want to experience? What do you want to have? How do you want to live your life? What contributions, both on a small scale and on a large scale, do you want to make in this world? What kind of work does your ideal self do? Think about all these things, and think about what your ideal self would look like if you took disciplined action 10 days from now, 10 weeks from now. What would your ideal self look like 10 months from now, 10 years from now? And why do you want to become this person? Answer these questions in writing. And I'll link all this up in the show notes for you if you're listening to the podcast audio version. And you can actually see the transcript or the article version of what we're talking about right now. And you can look on and read these exercises and actually write them out and do them on your own. And you can get them, of course, at meaningfulhq.com or at deanbukhari.com. And again, what's your ideal self? Imagine that person and put it in writing. Answer these questions that we just discussed in writing. And once you're done, the beautiful thing is that, number one, you'll have described your ideal self with clarity. And now you actually have a goal to strive towards, to become that person, that highest version of yourself. Part two, step two to developing discipline, self-discipline, is to describe and envision the behaviors and practices associated with this ideal version of yourself. What disciplines must you develop to live in the shoes of your ideal self? Physically, intellectually, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, what are the disciplines that you must develop in those key core areas of your life? For instance, physical fitness disciplines might be to exercise 5 times a week or 3 times a week or every day. My physical fitness discipline, for instance, is to exercise every single day. Most of the time, it's spent weightlifting in the gym, and some of the time, it's spent doing cardio or running and jogging outside, doing some high-intensity interval training outside, or swimming, or doing some kettlebell training outside. So every day, I exercise, and if I'm just shot or spent and I can't get myself to exercise, I still go exercise, right? That's disciplined action, even if that means doing just a bunch of push-ups, right? I can at least say that I've exercised. I've maintained that personal promise to myself. Intellectually, mentally, mental disciplines, read a book a week, right? That's an example. Or learn something, watch a TED talk. That could be a mental discipline that you do every day. An emotional or social discipline, weekly date day with your loved one, right? Spiritual disciplines, and meditate 10 minutes per day. And, you know, if you are a religious person, attend church once a week or Jummah prayer or temple or synagogue or something like that. And so those are examples of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual disciplines that your ideal self, your ideal version of yourself would be doing on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So describe those to yourself, one in each category, physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually. And then finally, number three, the third step is to transform your disciplines into habits. This is the ultimate goal right here, baby. Self-discipline, it's a simple game. But of course, that doesn't make it an easy one. So whenever you begin a new discipline, you're going to struggle at first. You want to keep going. Keep on performing the actions. Keep on performing the behaviors associated with your ideal self, and do so with intensity, consistency, with energy, and enthusiasm until these practices transform from hard to do to hard not to do. Right? Again, going back to that exercise example, I used to hate working out. I didn't even know how to do it. I almost knocked myself out with a 20-pound dumbbell. You know what I'm saying? It was hard for me to do. But eventually, when I built up that discipline, doing it over and over and over again, what happened? It became hard not to do. Now I can't not go work out every day. Now I can't not go and exercise. So you want to transform it from hard to do to hard not to do. And that's when you'll know that it's becoming a habit. Because when you work on a discipline long enough and hard enough, it eventually becomes a habit. And habits put actions on autopilot. So that is my three-step process to developing self-discipline. Again, imagine your ideal self. Who is that person? Who is that person that you aspire to be, that inspires you today, that you want to become? Number two, describe and envision the behaviors. What are the behaviors associated with that ideal version of yourself? And finally, number three, transform those behaviors, those disciplines, into habits. You do these three things and you'll develop not only self-discipline, but you, my friend, will be living like you give a damn.